Most of us know the history of the nation of Israel, how they were in Egyptian bondage for many years, and of course God allowed that, and He brought them out of Egyptian bondage, parted the Red Sea for them to go across on dry land. And as soon as they got in and started into the wilderness on their way to the promised land, what'd they start to do? Complain and grumble, didn't they? It should have only taken 2 or 3 weeks for them to get from Egypt to the promised land. But that short journey turned into 40 years. 40 years. Because they wouldn't listen to God's voice. They were God's chosen people. They were God's special people. But countless times He warned them about not listening. He warned them about following the gods and the nations around them. The time of Jeremiah, many, many years later, the northern tribes of Israel had already been taken into captivity by Assyria. Judah, the southern kingdom, had followed the same path. And that path, of course, was just like the northern tribes, and that was they wouldn't listen to God. And they followed those nations around them. They wouldn't pay attention to His commands and wouldn't follow them. In Jeremiah chapter 11, this is what God, through Jeremiah, finally tells them. Read with me, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 11, and notice verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 7. It says, "For I earnestly exhorted your fathers in the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, until this day, rising early and exhorting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore I will bring them upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done." Skip down to verse 11. "Therefore, says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them which they will not be able to escape." Not able to escape. "And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them." Now God pleaded with these people. He warned these people about the condition they were in. In Jeremiah chapter 4, notice the plea He makes with them in verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 14. Jeremiah 4, verse 14. God pleads with these people. Pleads with Judah. Notice what He says in verse 14. "O Jerusalem," and of course that was the main city of that of the southern tribes. "O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you?" How long, He says. And then you skip down to verse 22. This is how He views this nation. "For my people are foolish. They've not known me. They are silly children. They have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." He says they know how to do evil really well. So He says, this is what I'm going to do, verses 27 and 8. "For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, but I will not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken. I have purposed, and will not relent, nor will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee from the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up on the rocks." The whole land shall be desolate. The whole land. So what had the nation done that was so awful? That was so terrible? What were they guilty of? And as we look, there's basically six things that He mentions here in chapter 5 that the nation was guilty of. What I want us to do that makes it so relevant is when we look at these six things, I want us to compare it to America. Tell me if there are similarities. Tell me how they are the same. And I think you will be amazed. I think you'll be amazed at how similar they are. And then you can decide, are we as bad as they were, or are we worse? The very first thing they're guilty of, we see in chapter 5. Let's read the first three verses. Jeremiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It says, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know. And seek in her open places if you can find a man. If there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. Though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they've not grieved. You've consumed them, but they've refused to receive correction. They've made their faces harder than rock. They've refused to return. Here's the first thing they are essentially guilty of. And what is that? No one seeks the truth. No one executes judgment or justice. They had no desire to do the right thing. They had no desire or commitment to find out what was right and good and then execute it and then do it. They had no desire whatsoever to do that. They would say, as he mentions in verse 2, as the Lord lives. See, they were claiming, oh, this is what God wants. But what did God say? They're swearing falsely. What they said was the right thing to do was not what God said the right thing was to do. And so Jeremiah here is saying, go throughout all the streets of Jerusalem, throughout the whole land, and find a man who is trying to do right, who is trying to do good. That kind of makes us think, doesn't it? There wasn't anybody that had that concern, or very few people. Remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? That's basically what Jeremiah is saying. Of course, Sodom and Gomorrah, that happened a long, long time before the days of Jeremiah. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were trying to do the same thing. Let me find 10 men or 20 men or 30 men or 40 men. Let me find some good people. Couldn't do it. That's what Jeremiah is saying. The nation of God's people had gotten to the point where there were so few people concerned with doing the right thing. They simply wanted to do what they wanted. Well, this looks good to me. I'll go do it. This is easy. This doesn't take much time. This doesn't take much effort. I'm not going to have to sacrifice. So, that's what I'll do. But it wasn't justice. It wasn't the right thing. It wasn't truth. They weren't even seeking the truth. They weren't even trying to find out what God wanted. They didn't care about what God wanted at all. And further, he says, they refused to receive correction. When it was pointed out to them that what they were doing was wrong, they refused to change. They wouldn't admit what they had done was wrong. They refused to admit it. And they wouldn't change. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. Now let's go ahead 2,500 years into the future, we come into America of the 21st century. Now let's compare. How many people are searching for what's right? How many people are executing justice? How many people in America are wanting to know the truth of God's ways and are doing their very best to follow it? That number is so small in America right now. There are so few that are following God's ways, that are searching for His truth, that are doing what's good and right, who are being just. So many are totally unconcerned about what is right and wrong, good and evil. And as a result, they're not following it. And furthermore, when they are shown that it's wrong, When they're shown it's not the truth, they are just like these. They're rebellious. They refuse to receive instruction. They're not going to change. Well, that's just what you think is right. No, it doesn't have anything to do with what I think is right or wrong. As this said, it's about the truth. That's what's important. It's about the truth. So how close is that to America? What about our generation? Number two, skip down to verse 7. We'll see the second thing that was causing God's judgment to come upon the people. Beginning in verse 7, he says, "How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses." Verse 8. "They were like well-fed, lusty stallions. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this?" This one sounds even more like America than the last one. What were they guilty of? What were they doing? Well, they were sexually immoral. To put it in its broadest terms, they committed adultery. They committed fornication. And they weren't ashamed of what they had done. I mean, they made no attempt to hide it. Think about how that's changed just in my lifetime. Think about the change in just a few decades about people's views of this. It's amazing, the change. It says they were so bad, it was like well-fed, lusty stallions. They neighed after their neighbor's wife. See, they made... It wasn't anything to them to just openly lust after people and go after them. He talks about the neighbor's wife. It could be anybody. So they made no attempt. If we move on a couple of chapters to Jeremiah chapter 9, notice how prevalent this sin was among God's people. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 2, read with me there. It says, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." Says it was so prevalent, Jeremiah said, "I want to get away from them. I want to find this lodge, this house for travelers, so I don't even have to be around them anymore. They become so immoral." Now, Jeremiah said, "I can't even stand to be around them myself, and they're my people. They're my people. I can't stand to be around them." So they weren't ashamed of what they were doing. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23 now. Jeremiah chapter 23, and let's read verse 10. Jeremiah says, "For the land is full of adulterers, for because of a curse the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, their course of life is evil, and their might is not right." That's how prevalent and widespread it was. That's how immoral the people were. They had no control. They didn't practice any type of control morally at all. Whatever they wanted to do, they did it. Even though they knew what God said, they weren't concerned. There in Jeremiah chapter 13, Jeremiah writes this a lot. Verse 27, "See how little self-control the people practiced." Jeremiah 13, verse 27 says, "I've seen your adulteries and your lustful neighings," there's the same word, "the lewdness of your harlotry, your abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe to you, O Jerusalem, will you still not be made clean?" In other words, their sexual appetite was like animals. You know, animals don't have any morals. They're not concerned about those things at all. So he says these people were just like animals. There wasn't any difference between them. no control whatsoever. Now, how does that compare to this generation in America? Are they worse than this generation? The next one, number three, we begin in verse 10. Jeremiah writes, "Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, says the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, 'It is not he, neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine.' And the prophets become wind, for the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them." We'll read a few more in just a moment. What were the people doing? They were treacherous. They were treacherous. They were dishonest with the Lord. They had denied the Lord. They lied against the Lord. What were they saying? They were saying, "God would never do anything to us. We're his special people." Isn't that what they were saying? That's what they were saying. They were God's special people. Many of them thought because they were the chosen people that there's no way God would let any calamity happen to them. It didn't make any difference how evil they were, how bad they were, how far they had drifted from God. They said it didn't make any difference. God won't do anything to us. That's what Jeremiah was telling them. No wonder Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Jeremiah had few friends amongst God's people. Because why did he keep telling them? Unless you repent, God is going to do all of this. But they wouldn't listen. So all kinds of things were done to Jeremiah. Thrown in a dungeon, put in chains, kicked out of the country, and all kinds of things. He had a very sad life. Read about how sad he felt when he wrote Lamentations. Jeremiah didn't have too many friends because he told them the truth. But the people wouldn't believe him. They said, "There's no way God's going to do this to us. We're too special." Now let's jump ahead to our generation. Aren't there many people in America today that believe that nothing is going to happen to America? We're too great. We're the best nation on earth. We're God's nation. We're God's country. We're God's people. Nothing can possibly happen to us. Nothing can bring us down. Many people in our world believe that. Others believe that that we're truly God's favorite, that there's something special in America as far as God is concerned, and think that we're in some way God's new Israel. Well, of course we're not. And we're certainly not a Christian nation. Not even close to being a Christian nation. So these people had the false idea back in Jeremiah's time that because they were God's people, nothing would ever happen to them. And it didn't make any difference how evil they lived, how immoral or impure or corrupt or dishonest or treacherous. It didn't make any difference. God would still not do anything. And because Jeremiah told them the truth, they persecuted Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had to put up with so much in his life. Jeremiah was one of the most ill-treated of God's prophets in all the Old Testament. I'm sure every day was sad for him when he saw what was happening to God's people. Back in Leviticus chapter 26, back during the giving of the law of Moses, notice what's said there beginning in verse 14. Leviticus chapter 26 beginning in verse 14. Now this was written a long time before the days of Jeremiah. Beginning in verse 14, Leviticus 26. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. It says that's what's going to happen. And that was written hundreds of years before the days of Jeremiah. So God told them way back then, near the beginning, that if you don't listen and follow my words, this will happen. So the people of Jeremiah's day didn't have any excuse. They should have remembered what God's word said. But they didn't. Number four. Beginning in chapter 5 of Jeremiah, verse 19, he says, declare this in the house... verse 19. And it will be when you say, why does the Lord our God do all these things to us? Then you shall answer them. Just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, foolish people without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Who've placed the sand as the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it? And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They've revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. What were these people doing? What had they done? It says they had forsaken God and started serving strange gods. He says, because you've started to serve strange gods, then I'm going to send you to a strange land where strangers will rule over you. How many times had God warned them, don't go after the strange gods of the nations around you? But that's exactly what they ended up doing. Why? Why did they go after these other gods? Because those gods look like they would be something they wanted. It would make them feel better. They didn't want to follow God. Look at those other gods. They look more fun. I want that God or that God or that God because they're more fun than Jehovah. They knew Jehovah. They knew what Jehovah was like. But they completely forgot about all he had done for them. Brought them out of Egyptian slavery, fed them with manna, gave them water when they couldn't find it. Water came out of a rock two different times. That happened to be the downfall of Moses, but it's still, God miraculously brought them water. God defeated their enemies. God did all of these things, and yet they just blindly forgot all of that and started serving all these other gods. Back in Jeremiah chapter 2, notice what he says in beginning in verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 4 says, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? What fault was in God that they left God and started worshiping idols? Does that sound anything at all like our country? Oh my. Think about all the things we worship and idolize in our country besides Jehovah. Vast numbers of people worship at the idol of atheism. Atheism's a religion. Atheism is a religion. People who are atheists worship atheism. People worship materialism. They worship money and wealth. And people worship power and prestige. People worship science. I know some people think science is the answer to everything. Some people worship knowledge. Some people worship philosophy. Some people worship whatever. So our country is worshiping everything except Jehovah. More and more and more and more. Every decade, fewer and fewer people worship Jehovah in our country and worship more and more of these other things. Notice what happened to them back in Jeremiah's day. Number five. Jeremiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, we see the fifth thing they were guilty of. Jeremiah says, "Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they've become great and grown rich. They have grown fat. They're sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy they do not defend. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this?" What was the fifth thing they were guilty of? They had no love and concern for fellow man. What did they see their fellow man as? Somebody to profit from. That's what they were seeing when they looked at other people. Well, how can I use them to better myself? That's what they were saying. How can I use them? Not what can I do to help them. He mentions the fatherless, the poor. Instead of looking at them saying, what can I do to help them? It was, how can I use them to make my life better? It was all about what? Me, me, me. Think about our society today and how it centers around me. Me. What can you do for me? What can government do for me? What can this do for me? What can that do for me? What can they do for me? Not how can I help this world be a better place, but what can the world do for me? And so these people were, it's like setting traps for people, trying to trap them. And of course, you don't have to listen to the news long to find how many people there are in our society that are doing just that thing. Dishonest or not doesn't make any difference. They're wanting to deal deceitfully and dishonestly with people. And it doesn't bother them that it's dishonest or deceitful. As long as it prospers them, so be it. That's the way people in Jeremiah's day was. That's how people are today. They weren't concerned about injustice. You don't have to know me very long to know that it's probably that gets me riled up more than anything, is injustice. Even when it's something on a real small scale, when I see somebody treated unfairly or unjustly at school, it just bothers me to no end, even if it's something really small. That just gets me angrier than about anything. But when you look at the Bible, that gets God angry. That gets God angry. Because God is a God of justice and fairness. And so when He sees injustice and unfairness and inequity, that gets Him angry. So that was one of the things that was wrong with that group of people at that time. They weren't concerned about anybody but themselves. They didn't feel for anybody but themselves. When they saw wrong done to someone else, they didn't care. And God says that's wrong. And then the last one, verses 30 and 31. "An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? The spiritual rulers and leaders had become corrupt themselves. There were false prophets among God's people. People who knew the truth, but they weren't going to say it. Jeremiah was one of the few people willing to stand up and say what was the truth and what was right. Jeremiah said, "This you must do. Otherwise, calamity is coming to you." That's what Jeremiah would say. These other false prophets were saying, "God's not going to do anything to us. You don't have to worry about how you live. We're fine in just the shape we are." Does that not sound like America today? Even the Lord's church, unfortunately. So many in the Lord's church says, "Come over and be with us. We're not going to talk about sin. We're not going to talk about repentance. We're not going to talk about hell. We're not going to talk about anything but God's love and mercy and how wonderful things are." Well, those congregations today would not want Jeremiah in their midst. That's for sure. Because Jeremiah would tell them the truth. Jeremiah would tell them that there is sin, and unless they repent of it, they will be forever and eternally lost. Jeremiah said it was astonishing and horrible that these men would lie about what God said. So how does that compare to our generation today? We're just as bad, if not worse, than they were. And think about what God did to them. Not too long after Jeremiah's day, what did God do? Destroyed them. Many died. Many were taken into captivity into Babylon. Others were left in that area, those who were poor. They just kind of scratched out a living. That was what happened to them. Just exactly like Jeremiah said it would happen. God gave them. God was very long-suffering, wasn't he? He gave them chance after chance after chance. Repent, repent, repent. And they said, "We will not. We will not. We will not." They would not receive correction. And their heart became hardened. And so God said, there came a point where enough was enough. There were some good men in Jeremiah's day, just not very many. Jeremiah was one of them. But there just weren't very many. Jeremiah was saved, but he still had to suffer. He still suffered because he told people the truth. Not what they wanted to hear, but what it was absolutely necessary for them to hear. They didn't like it. They didn't want to hear it. And as a result, he suffered because of it. He was certainly a weeping prophet. God may destroy our nation someday. You or I don't have any idea. May not. Who knows? But we do know that we can be saved. Regardless of what happens to our country, we can be saved. If we do what? Listen to what God says. So many people question, why do I have to repent? Why do I have to confess? Why do I have to be baptized? Very simple. That's what God said. That's what God said. And if we expect to be saved, just like those in Jeremiah's day, we must hearken to His commands. Just like they had to. This morning, are you listening? Are you ready to follow His word? Do what He says. Listen to Him. If you are, we encourage you to make that great decision. Come this morning to become a Christian. Let us stand and sing this song.